You know, Jason, this show is constantly irritated by one thing. It does not happen to be a certain person, but it happens to be a certain object that goes to the demise of me, to the demise of Bob, and to the demise of Joe. And that is our one and only vending machine that we have in the building. The vending machine says, establishing connection, and wouldn't take my credit card. So all I have in my wallet is a $5 bill. All I have, the big bucks are not in my wallet. All I have is a $5 bill. So I decide, okay, fine. We didn't have the donuts today, which I was very upset about. I'm going to put in the $5 bill and get some of these nice potato skins to eat so that I have something to eat so that I don't eat nothing until 3 o'clock. So I put in a $5 bill, and I get quarters back, all quarters. I get no $2 bills back. The thing is already $2.50 to get this little bag.
$2.50 for a bag of chips?
For a bag of chips. And all I get back is quarters. So I'll be walking around. You'll be able to hear change swooshing in my pocket the rest of the day. Quarters.
You're
going to
be like Kramer trying to get a calzone.
What if somebody puts a $20 bill in? Does it just deposit all these quarters back? How is there a vending machine that doesn't deposit bills back in return? How do we have that in 2025 where your credit card doesn't work and you don't get bills back in return, just quarters?
All right, so
just so irritating to me.
I've got a 50 in my wallet, not because I'm a big deal, but because I went to the ATM and for some reason it gave me a 50 when I tried to get out like an amount of cash to go pay for something. Like anybody uses a bleeping $50 bill anymore. I should go put that in and see how many quarters I get back.
Please. I just want to see the quarters.
I don't want $50 worth of quarters.
Overflow. I would love to see it. It would have to give you a big jug that you'd have to be able to carry all your quarters.
No, the easy solution, Limits, is to just get that connection established.
You tell the vending machine
it's 2025.
It's been an hour.
I'm not going to talk to the vending machine.
It's been an hour, and the vending machine cannot establish a
connection. There are
enough questions
about my behavior as it is. I don't need to talk to vending machines.
The connection should be somebody opening up the vending machine and us just being able to splurge on whatever we want and take whatever we want. Due to the pain and suffering the vending machine has caused this show throughout the years.
He's fired up, folks. They're all Twix.
I just want to eat, man.
Have you ever seen that Seinfeld episode? I'm quoting it.
No.
All right. Yeah.
That's it.
They go to a car dealership. They get stuck. George is hungry. He's trying to get Twix. He's trying to, and somebody steals his Twix. It's classic. I wish Cook was here. He'd chime in.
You've
we could quote lines.
Vending machines, though, that do give back dollar bills, right?
I don't think so.
No?
No. Vending machines don't give back dollar bills?
Like $1 bills.
No. If you put money in, you're getting quarters back.
Oh, I've seen.
That's why I'm surprised you're surprised that you got quarters back putting in a $5.
I've gotten.
But I mean, I understand the frustration about having to use cash when there should be a card element there.
Maybe I must be talking about a very sophisticated vending machine that I've used before.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of vending machines you had in Baldwin, my man.
Maybe ones that I used on vacation up at Geneva on the Lake that gave $1 bills.
You went to Geneva on the Lake and ate out of a vending machine?
Well, I mean, sometimes you need a snack. Sometimes it's late at night in the hotel and you want a snack, Jason.
Don't you go to the front? Say, put this on room 323?
No.
You go to a vending machine?
Once at a blue moon, yeah.
I don't even do that. They kill you. I'm too cheap to do that.
I typically am too. Like, I only go to the vending machine if I am like desperately in need of something to eat.
It pains me every time going to the front desk if I need to like get a water or something. Usually I'm in a hotel where like I have status. I don't have to pay for a water like a peasant. But if I do, ticks me off.
One
charge
texter,
like $4 for a bottle of water.
One texter says that they've gotten dollar coins but not bills. But another texter says, yes, some modern vending machines can dispense bills as change.
I feel like we have kind of dropped the ball as a society with vending machines, don't you?
Yeah.
We have not evolved. We've gone backwards. They used to be simple. They should be simple. But there should be more things available, readily available in vending machines. Have you ever been to a restaurant with a cigarette vending machine?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Every so often,
of the past.
I'll eat someplace like a dive bar or something like that, and I'll see a cigarette vending machine in the corner. I'm like, whoa.
Texter Limits, at least you got something. I've heard horror stories about an item getting stuck on the way. in the vending machine. That is also true. There have been stories where Joe and I have not been able to receive an item in the vending machine because it gets stuck in the machine. And then Joe complains and has me try to fix it.
All right. Are we good?
Yeah, we're good.
All right. We got it off our chest about the vending machines. They can be frustrating, certainly. Our good friend Limits, at some point, we'll teach him how to pack some snacks. Maybe even graduate the packing of lunch, but be that as it may, fan Twitter, it's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The fan's text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. All right, so I wanted to talk about the Pirates in the future. Speaking of not getting what you're paying for or the bang for your buck or being disappointed after the point of sale, or there's some parallel there that I could draw, but it was an interesting day for the Buccos yesterday. A couple different things happened on the prospect front, and I want to go through them and then tell you what that leads me to believe about where they're going. Number one, Bubba Chandler started yesterday for AAA Indy. Don't know if you saw that. 5 2/3 innings, 7 strikeouts. Looked really, really good, by the way. Gave up 2 earned, walked 2, threw 15 fastballs at 99+, touched 103 times. Bubba Chandler needs to be here. Maybe that's stating the obvious. I'm not sure. That's like, you know, falling between the couch cushions, to draw another analogy of a bag of chips. I don't know where we're at with that. Back in May, there was a lot of smoke that maybe he would be up here. Super 2 deadline, the second week of June. And now here we are almost in August, and we have not seen Bubba Chandler. And it's not because he hasn't performed, although there was a little lull. Maybe the Pirates are waiting for him to stabilize. But as we talk about things that are important with the Pirates, this is one of them. And not so much this season. I understand this season is lost, but if the Pirates are thinking about 2026 to be good and compete, these are important innings for Bubba Chandler to get nailed down. Also, every start that he makes in AAA is a start that he doesn't make in the big leagues. So I don't understand why we're continuing along this trajectory. And maybe the switch that needs to flip is the trade deadline. You trade Andrew Heaney, but there are other guys competing for these spots. And that takes me to something else that happened with the Pirates. Johan Oviedo started yesterday for AA Altoona. The curve won 5-2. Oviedo gave them 5 innings of 1-run ball. Was very good. Couple strikeouts. Retired 13 of the final 15 he faced. It was his first win since September 2023. His fastball was in the mid-90s. Got up to 97. Threw just 63 pitches in those 5 innings. Here's the thing about Johan Oviedo. He should be a part of this rotation. He should be a building block. Remember late 2023? I know that's when he hurt his elbow and got Tommy John. 4.31 ERA that season. Late, I remember being in Kansas City when he threw the complete game 2-hitter. In Atlanta when he challenged Ronald Acuna Jr. I mean, this was a guy who was a guy. He was going to be a part of this thing. I want Johan Oviedo to be a part of this rotation. I don't think he's a reliever. I'm not giving up on that. I don't even want him to be a swing guy. I think he's somebody who can be a horse in their rotation. He's got to get back up here. I understand his trajectory is different than Bubba Chandler because of the injury. Dealt with the right lat strain in spring. Had Tommy John again before that. So he's had some reasons for his delayed progress. Hasn't started in the big since that 2023 season. But again, if you talk about the switch flipping and when there's going to be a rotation spot available for Bubba Chandler, you also need to find a way to get Johan Oviedo up here. I think the Pirates are kind of spinning their wheels. Some of it self-inflicted, some of it not. But, I mean, those are important pieces of the puzzle for what the Pirates are doing to get those guys here. All right, second point is a little bit more prospect-related, including one guy who's not going to be a Pirates prospect. The first one, good news. Connor Griffin moved up to the number one spot in MLB Pipeline's prospect rankings. How about that? So the Pirates have number one and number five. Best overall prospect and the best pitching prospect, I believe. One of the best. I got to double check that in Bubba Chandler. Very interesting. Connor Griffin having just an absolutely fantastic season, hitting .331 and .924 OPS. Started his trajectory, get this, started at number 43, up to 13 by July, and now at number one, at the ripe old age of 19 years, 3 months. He's the second youngest to ascend to the number one spot behind Wander Franco in 2019. That's the level of prospect that we're talking about with Connor Griffin. It's fair to criticize the Pirates about a lot of things. I do, happens on this show. Absolutely no problem with it. Connor Griffin is not among those. Really, really good. Now, what's baffling to me is I can look at Connor Griffin, I can look at Bubba Chandler, two very good prospects, a lot of excitement. And are you going to get excited about the future of the Pirates? Is that going to be a conversation that goes well? If I say, here, look at these two guys, look at what they have, the cavalry's coming, you're probably going to laugh me out of the room. It's a weird spot to be in as a franchise. And the second thing is kind of the negative of that. Angel Cervantes, it's either Angel or Angel, I can't remember, but is a pitcher the Pirates took in the second round at this most recent draft. Announced yesterday he would attend UCLA instead of signing with them. Very good right-handed pitcher. He's young. He won't turn 18 until August 21st. It was the 50th overall pick. So the Pirates are not going to get this guy. They're not going to get their second-round pick under contract, theoretically. Now, the deadline is Monday at 5 p.m. He doesn't have to. This theoretically could be some sort of ploy. Maybe he's trying to leverage the Pirates for an above-slot bonus. I get that. The slot value for the 50th overall pick, it's nearly $2 million. It's $1,934,700 if we're going to be exact. But this is a move, if you're the Pirates, cannot under any circumstances happen. It can't, especially, and I don't think this is what the Pirates expected. This is why I'm thinking maybe this is strategy. Maybe there's something else involved here. I'm not sure. So they take Seth Hernandez, a right-hander, at number 6 overall. He's a high school pitcher. Absolutely no problem with the pick. They sign him to 7.25. That's under slot. They're saving money on that pick. Theoretically, you would think, to apply it to Cervantes. And now he's going to go to college. Not only are you missing out on a prospect for this year, they're also going to lose $1.93 million toward their bonus pool for next year's draft. Now, they'll get a compensation pick for not signing him. That helps. But when you talk about building through the draft and the way the MLB draft works, again, if you're not aware, it is much different than the NFL draft, even the NFL or NBA or NHL. Right? So you're thinking about drafting these kids. A lot of times you're drafting them based on signability, what you expect them to do, what their number is going to be. And so you're taking a chance on a high school kid in the second round. You better believe that you have the money to sign him and that you're going to be able to convince him to sign if the money is there. Him not signing, for whatever reason, it's a pretty big problem. It's a pretty big problem because it's a giant hole in the talent you're supposed to accumulate, as well as the penalty that you end up incurring. I don't like that for the Pirates. And again, you can, as we're sort of building out a portfolio of Ben Cherington and what he's done and what he hasn't done, and I understand you'll look at it and say he hasn't been very good, and I agree with you, and I've said all those things. I don't think he should have a job right now, so this is not a defense of Ben Cherington. But the fact of the matter is that he has not been fired. So theoretically, Bob Nutting could still be evaluating what Ben Cherington is doing. Maybe if there's one small part of Pirates owner Bob Nutting's brain thinking about, maybe I should try to retain Cherington, I don't know. That ship should have sailed with this. My goodness, I mean, there have been greater offenses, certainly. Fixing the offense or the inability to fix the offense, very, very bad. Can't happen. The Pirates, what they're tracking toward with the win total this year, horrendous. No, absolutely not. Sticking with Derek Shelton for as long as they did, fireable offense, the lack of development, all of that. I would even argue, on balance, the amount of talent that the Pirates have procured from the MLB draft, it's not enough. Now, you can point to Paul Skeens, Connor Griffin. I mean, those are good things. I'm good with the Seth Hernandez pick. I think you can say top end, they've actually done an okay job. It's kind of a nuanced discussion, but have they got enough? Has the volume been there? No, it hasn't. It really hasn't. And Nick Gonzalez might be an everyday player. Might. Carmen Majinski's a reliever. That's basically your 2020 draft. Well, along with Jared Jones. He's hurt right now, of course. Henry Davis, it doesn't look good. Bubba Chandler is going to be in the mix. We haven't seen anything. You'd like to think that he's there again. There's top end. You know, at the end of it, I do think it's worse Charrington, if you look at his trades, team building, decisions to fix the offense, all that stuff, like those are certainly worse offenses than what he's done in the MLB draft. But as we sit here today on July 25th, I'd argue that he still hasn't gotten enough. You've got Paul Skeens, but you also have a guy like that sitting staring you at the face at 1-1. I'm not sure that was any sort of advanced decision-making. Connor Griffin hasn't panned out. Bubba Chandler hasn't panned out. Now, you and I both probably think that they will, and that's great. Henry Davis at 1-1. I'm not seeing it. I want to see it. I want to see it. A little later on in a Pirates discussion, I want to talk about Henry Davis and the rest of this season. What the lineup looks like, what we should see out of Henry Davis the rest of the way, because I do think that's an important element. We can talk about O'Neill Cruz, Mitch Keller, David Bednar, Dennis Santana, trades the Pirates should make. I'm against all of those, by the way. I've explained why. I'll do it again today. I don't think they're going to happen. I've also been adamant about that. I want to wade into some trades that I do think are going to happen. I don't think any of them are going to produce sparkly return, but the Pirates on the other side of the deadline are going to have some important holes to fill. They're going to have shortstop reps available. I would imagine Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is on the move. Third base is certainly a place that I've circled. I think it could be interesting if they decide to move on from Ke'Bryan Hayes. I wouldn't close the door on that. Tommy Pham, if he fetches something, there will be a need in the bullpen with Caleb Ferguson. Andrew Heaney is all but gone. It's going to be a much different team in August and September for the Pirates. We'll talk about that and much more here in a little bit. I want to remind you, too, the Bechtold Breakdown is coming up at 12:30. Any good teases, my man?
Yes, Jason. We have a lot of interesting things on what Aaron Rodgers had to say on his relationship with DK Metcalf, working with the tight ends. Plus, we'll dive into a little of a potpourri of Mike Tomlin and his comments on some of the things going on defense.
I love it. We'll get into that at 12:30 once again. It is 12:20, though, right now. It's time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. You can get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. Are you headed up to camp? Going up camp? Cool off with an old ice-cold Miller Lite and meet Donnie Football. He'll be broadcasting from Sharky's on July 30th from 6 to 10. Training camp coverage on 93.7 The Fan is presented by Smale Kia and brought to you by Miller Lite. So my six-year-old likes saying Miller Lite.
And exaggerating the lie.
And exaggerating the lie. I'm not sure if that's a good or bad thing that my six-year-old knows Miller Lite, but...
Probably not great.
We'll be... He's not drinking them. He's just saying it. We'll go to a restaurant. He'll be like, Dad, do you want a Miller Lite? You want a Miller Lite? I'm like, nah, Ted, I'm good. I'm good on the Miller Lite. Or I'll order one. And I'll say, I'll have a Miller Lite.
What reactions do you get when you say that to the waiter or the waitress?
I don't have the guts to do it.
No. You just think about it, but ultimately stays in your mind.
I will just say, I'll have a Miller Lite or I'll order something else, depending.
All right, Jason, it's one of our favorite times of the week. 12:30 on a Friday. You know what that means. It's the Bechtold Breakdown brought to you by Southside Plumbing and Heating and our wonderful friend Jake at Southside Plumbing and Heating, who invited me on Are You Smarter Than a Plumber earlier this week to go toe-to-toe with him and Crowley. And Crowley and I failed to beat Jake. We lost to Jake in the matchup. I provided nothing to Crowley. He ended up getting one right, but I was not able to successfully answer a question correctly. So I apologize to my dear friend and radio mentor, Adam Crowley, for that. This is what Mike Tomlin had to say as we go with a potpourri of clips from Steeler minicamp for the Bechtel Breakdown. This is Tomlin on potentially moving T.J. Watt around on defense.
Those conversations have been ongoing in spite of the business. You know, we've had an ongoing relationship for a number of years, and he's got a desire to be obviously successful, and we do for him as well. And so that's just been ongoing as part of our offseason leading up to now.
And T.J. talked about this a little bit too, Jason, like his willingness to move around just because – and he's very comfortable and confident in the area that he's in, lining up against the right tackle, especially with just the speed and agility and the quickness that he has. But teams have been scheming against him to add somebody to chip him, add a tight end. It would be better if Watt, especially pre-snap, like before everyone just lines up, or even if it's just a shift for Watt, is able to move himself around to find better matchups, whether it is against the left tackle or even just against a guard-center matchup, I'm all for it. And it's something that probably should have happened already.
It really should have, Austin. I mean, that's, I think that's a completely fair criticism of the Steelers' defense. Why was T.J. Watt, I used the word static before in the show. I mean, why is he static? If you know he's getting chipped, if you know he's facing double teams, like, it's admirable that T.J. Watt's going to consume another blocker and it should open up somebody else. I don't want to keep doing that. It's the definition of insanity. I want to see T.J. Watt utilized in a unique way, and I like the way the Steelers are going about it so far.
Well, and I want to see T.J. Watt have more opportunities so that it's not like, sure, Keanu Benton might be able to feast, but I would rather see T.J. Watt have a better opportunity to feast than Keanu Benton. Well, we think he'll have a better opportunity because of this. Watt, a much better chance for him to be able to truly capitalize on.
Well, and it's not just like moving him to the left or right side, right? And we're hearing about this happening at training camp yesterday. It's got to be disguises. And that's what they're doing with Jalen Ramsey. Walk him up to the line of scrimmage. You don't know who's coming. You don't know from where. Using different formations. I mean, the Steelers have to really get creative with T.J. Watt and designing blitz packages, designing pass rush, you know, alignments, plays. You're not going to say it that way. Like designing a pass rush so people don't know who to block.
This is what Tomlin had to say on the intentions with the corners and how they could potentially move around.
We're going to start him regardless. Where we move him around and things really depends on what offenses are doing.
That's Ramsey.
Make no mistake. Those top three corners that I mentioned, Jalen Ramsey, Slay, and Joey Porter Jr., they're going to be on the field. I don't care what offenses come out in.
And he didn't specifically call them corners.
They're coverage people.
Coverage people.
However you wish to describe them. They're capable of covering eligibles and minimizing the time and the successfulness of offensive passing game.
Coverage people, Jason.
The eligibles and the coverage people. How football has evolved.
We're not putting them in a box.
I love it, though. I love it, Austin. I mean, let's change some things. Let's get weird. What they're doing ain't working. I have no problem changing it. And we all know Mike Tomlin's going to come up with a unique name for it. So we got coverage people, and we have eligibles.
Well, in practice, we'll be seeing those coverage people cover the eligibles, including Jonnu Smith, who might move around as much as Jalen Ramsey.
Without a doubt. And the intentions were the same there, and we really view it through the same lens. Forget how you describe them, a Y, an H, a Z, or what have you. The bottom line is, man, he's a dynamic guy with the ball in his hands. He's a matchup issue. I think he led the quote-unquote tight end group in the NFL last year in terms of yards after catch. He had 800-plus yards and 8 touchdowns, and so that's an eligible that's capable of making some splash plays for us and doing it in a variety of ways. Who has firsthand experience with our offensive play caller, and so we're really excited about that.
If you were playing drink every time you hear a Tomlinism, you'd probably be drunk by the end of those 30 seconds.
I probably would. I'd be under this table.
And he was also throwing out all the X and Ys and all the different positions and formats that you can line up on the field. Jonnu Smith, I feel like, can be a versatile chess piece for them on the offensive side of the ball that is truly something that they have not had in a while.
In a while, I'm pretty sure ever.
Yeah, because
I'm not sure the last. I don't think they have. I don't think they've had a chess piece the way Jonnu Smith is going to be used.
Here's my comparison. Some people will get it. Some people will not. Different body types, different style of player, but Jonnu Smith and his flexibility, at least what he showed in Miami last year, kind of reminds me a little bit of Tyler Warren. It's a tight end that can play on the line. Warren's a better blocker, but Smith can play on the line, can also bounce out to the slot, is versatile and can move downfield, underrated speed and ability, and can also line up in the backfield and in other positions when called upon.
Yeah, that's fair. I get that. I made a face at first because the position and body type, yeah.
It started to make a little bit more sense the more and more I explained it. Like, they're not perfect.
Right. It's not perfect because you're basically counting on Tyler Warren to be like a super H-back. Or at least Penn State was, and I'm sure his NFL employer will as well. And you're counting on Jonnu Smith not so much to be an H-back, but a little bit of a wide receiver too. Sometimes some outside responsibilities, some yak. But I get what you're saying. I mean, it's not a traditional tight end skill set. I think that's fair. And I, honestly, man, like I know there's a lot of criticism of Arthur Smith.
Yeah.
And I got an email from somebody last night talking about how they're done on Arthur Smith. They've made the decision that he stinks. He's not going to be able to coordinate this offense or whatever. I don't understand jumping to that conclusion. I'm not there with Arthur Smith. Like what happened last year, it was not good enough, clearly. I don't think it was terrible, but I don't think it was the improvement that the Steelers were expecting. Do I expect that to continue this year? I don't know. I think it can and should be better, and a lot of it is contingent on how much they use Jonnu Smith, how creatively they use Jonnu Smith. Did they learn from mistakes that they made with Russell Wilson and allow Aaron Rodgers to do something else? I think there's a lot of TBD.
Well, Mike did make that decision, though, on Minka saying bye-bye, out the door.
Very difficult. His experience here and the production that he gave us speaks for itself. But you got to make tough choices. And obviously I've been talking glowingly about two top-notch players that we acquired in that. But I don't obviously lessen the impact of a player like Minka. And so we're really excited about the acquisition of two significant players on both sides of the ball, particularly as it pertains to the passing game, but certainly has created challenges in other areas that I'm excited about sorting through in an environment like this where we divide the labor up and see who's capable of what.
Good. Great. Let me clap. No, it's the exact right move. Minka Fitzpatrick was not worth what the Steelers were paying him. You can get somebody to do that job, to keep a lid on a defense in a different way. And I'm not going down the road to say they're exactly doing that, but I think there's a possibility of them doing that. And if that's the way you're going to use Juan Thornhill, I think there's a more productive way to utilize that spot. And the Steelers, so far, I think have done a good job finding it.
So far.
It's one day.
Some questions do remain, but we'll see how DK Metcalf, one of the biggest additions, ultimately fares with Jalen Ramsey. Metcalf and Ramsey had their battles in Seattle and in L.A., but Metcalf excited to have Ramsey on his side this time.
I mean, he's 6'3", 200 pounds, and he's a big corner that loves to hit. He's physical, and you know he's very smart, very cerebral on the field, and then he talks to back it up. So, I mean, you can have all those traits. You're a damn good player on defense.
Those matchups are going to be fun to watch throughout camp. Those are going to be some of the ones that you mainly keep your eye on. Because he wants to go head-to-head with them.
I mean, glad I don't got to play against him on Sunday, but we're going to have a lot of battles. Him, Slay, JPJ, like, that whole defense is sick to me. So just to get to go against them in practice every day is going to be amazing.
What do you make of training camp battles limits? Do you like them?
I like the individual one-on-ones, yes.
But, like, if it gets a little heated, is that a good thing?
Yeah. I think so.
I kind of like it, too.
If you could build the intensity and make it as close to a game-like situation in camp, in practice, as you possibly can, I'm all for it. That makes – you can make each other better with an elite wide receiver and an elite corner going up against each other. You know, like Ramsey and Metcalf can share – like Ramsey can probably say to Metcalf, okay, this is how I try to defend against you. This is what I think your weaknesses are. And Metcalf could even say the same thing to Ramsey, and it could probably be productive in the way they battle it out against each other.
I just think it's a really productive use of time. In addition to, as a media member, a spectator, whatever, I'm intrigued by it. I don't like the practices, and I have seen this, where it's just easy. You know, you're kind of going through the motions. You're running things against a scout team guy. And this holds true. You know, it's almost like some of the you see enough baseball batting practice, you end up doing the same stuff over and over again. Hockey, you might run through the same drills. Are you really getting something out of it? But you know when you have two alphas going at one another and it may end up in a fight and it's 90 degrees and you're irritated, like to me, that's a good part of team building. I have no problem with that. And that's why I do think that's an area where Mike Tomlin thrives, is sort of separating that. Like it's competition, pit one against one, try to get something out of it. You don't hate each other. It's not going to create any sort of divisiveness in the team. But I do think that's a really good thing sort of for how a team might come together.
I'm fine with it. And I remember all the battles that Antonio Brown would have against corners on the Steelers. All the battles that Joey Porter Jr., his rookie year, was trying to create with like Diontae Johnson and other wide receivers. Basically to try to, you know, get yourself better. Get yourself ready in training camp, especially because these guys don't play a lot of preseason snaps anymore.
Right. Ratchet up the intensity.
So if you're going to be able to get yourself ready and get yourself fulfilled for what you got to be for week one, it has to be in training camp. There's no other way to do it. So how's the chemistry with DK Metcalf and Aaron Rodgers been so far, DK?
We only got together twice, one previously before he signed and then one after he signed. But I don't think there's a timetable on chemistry. Like, it's just dependent on the QB receiver, QB running back, QB tight end, with how much work we're willing to put in on the field, off the field. And plus, it's the ultimate team game. So we all have to be on the same page, all 11 people, when we call a play out there. O-line has to block, or, you know, receivers have to block if the running back gets the ball. Or we have to make sure we iron out all the details about, you know, route depth or how I release or how I want to catch the ball running and everything. So I don't think there's a timetable or anything, but, you know, what better way to do it than out here against one of the best defenses in the league?
Might as well get the reps in now while you can with Rodgers, because you know that the chirping will be coming out from fans. We'll be talking about it. If Metcalf and Rodgers during the first game in New York, especially the second game at home in the opener at home against Seattle, if he's struggling in his revenge game, if they're not on the right page, if he's breaking out routes a different way that Rodgers is intending, then it's going to be a problem. Like, DK Metcalf is a fiery player. He's not the same ego as George Pickens. DK Metcalf has also had like some, there have been some like pressure points on him in the past, but I think ultimately they're getting just a better all-around wide receiver and somebody who is going to be less of a headache than George Pickens, provided with better production.
DK Metcalf is the Steelers' best receiver since prime AB.
Yeah, I don't think that's disputable.
Yeah. I mean, and maybe better than prime AB, that might be a leap. I mean, prime AB was...
not better, but he's the best since.
It's up there. I don't have any question whether DK Metcalf's going to be able to build a rapport with Aaron Rodgers. His quote about Aaron Rodgers has had some of his quote-unquote guys over the years, and he's working to become that next one. Everything DK Metcalf puts into this, if that's what he is targeting, my goodness. And Aaron Rodgers is going to do whatever possible to develop that chemistry. Clearly, there is a roadmap to follow. I like that a lot. I mean, physically, DK Metcalf is so gifted. Watching him in person during minicamp was something to behold. Really, really good. And just the head that is on his shoulders, man. The question that I have about the Steelers passing game, it is not at all relative to DK Metcalf. It's everything else. It's Calvin Austin III. It's Roman Wilson. It's, does Jonnu Smith work out? Do people stay healthy?
Yeah.
Do they get somebody else? Are they productive? But no, DK Metcalf's going to be able to fill it up. Aaron Rodgers is going to find him quite a bit, and I don't think he's going to have a problem pulling it off.
Well, for those that are driving up to practice right now, DK Metcalf is thinking about you in Latrobe.
Oh, hell yeah. I ain't been in the dorm since 16, huh?
What do you think about being away for camp and this environment here?
I mean, I'm looking forward to it. It's a good experience just to, you know, be around the teammates, the guys. So, I mean, these are all my new teammates, so it's just like I get a fresh start learning everybody's names, where they're from, number, what they like to do, who likes to play video games, who's very cerebral, who likes to read books. So I'm just trying to learn everybody. So it's going to be easy to play with each other on Sunday.
But Aaron Rodgers will not be a part of those video games.
I thought he did. He walked in my room yesterday, and he was like, oh, you're gaming. I was like, yeah. And he just walked out. So I was like, all right.
What were you playing?
NCAA.
And that was the extent of that.
Well, okay, all right.
I don't expect 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers to just sit down and play video games, though.
Why? Because you're 41, you can't play a video game? What are you trying to say?
Maybe Lewis? Aaron Rodgers is not a big fan of video games.
Maybe it wasn't the right system, okay? Maybe he was looking for Super Nintendo or Nintendo 64. Maybe if they had Quarterback Club there, he would have played.
Are you saying that because Aaron Rodgers is 41?
And I'm and also 41, and don't make fun of old people.
I'm not making fun of old people at all. I feel like the older you get, the less likely you are to play video games. Would you say that's fair?
That's accurate, yeah.
Yeah.
Guilty.
So maybe that's why Aaron Rodgers just, you know, would rather read or do some ayahuasca in the room.
What do you think Aaron Rodgers is doing for relaxation in those dorms? Maybe like, just, his day's done. He's going to unwind. Aaron Rodgers in a dorm room. What is he doing?
I imagine that Aaron is just sitting there quietly with his thoughts.
It's four nights of complete darkness.
Just to think. Study the playbook. Ponder. Maybe he has a little reading light with him.
DK Metcalf goes to the other side of the dorm. I'm guessing it's one of those like room, bathroom in the middle, room on the other side.
Probably,
right? Like they're not in, you know, two twin beds in the same room, but I hope not. He goes over to the other side. It's just complete darkness. Aaron Rodgers is sitting there like legs crossed up on his bed.
He has one of those salt candles right next to his bed.
Yeah.
That's glowing in the darkness.
Somehow I don't think that's what's happening. I bet Aaron Rodgers has a physical book in his room, though. I do. And not the playbook. I mean, like, actual book.
Finally, here's what Rodgers had to say about the Steelers becoming a contender this year.
No, I think it's coming together, you know, times like this with these 17 or so practices that we have here and finding the chemistry and hanging out with each other in the lunchroom and snack and the different times that we have and growing together through our practice. Mike, you know, wants to practice at the hottest time of the day, which, you know, it's interesting. But I love it just because it's a stressor. You know, we see how guys respond to adversity.
I don't know if he loves it, Limits.
No, probably not, but you deal with it. Get over it. Just like how we got over the interception that he threw in practice. This got a lot of play. Let's listen to this.
And it's good to get that out the way. It's good to get it out the way. I mean, anybody that's watched me practice over the years, you know, you like to try certain throws at certain times. And anybody that's watched me in the games knows I've been pretty stellar taking care of the football over the years. So there's going to be picks for sure. I'm going to try to fit certain things in. You got to deal with some sweat on the ball from time to time. So it's going to be a good challenge for me throwing this heat every single day. I look forward to it. But I'm going to throw some picks. But I'm going to throw some touchdowns too.
He's going to throw some picks. He's acknowledging he's not the Aaron Rodgers of 25 to 35 where the only interceptions that he threw were like 4 or 5 a season, topping out at like 8. Now he's in the double-digit range, and I think Aaron is admitting that, look, that just might be the unfortunate reality of where I am now. Can still get it done, can still throw touchdowns, but it's going to come with some turnovers. That's kind of the way that I made that out to be.
I'm not there, and it better not be. Limits, he better have single-digit interceptions.
Ideally, yes.
I don't want if he's throwing 15 picks, we've got a problem.
Well, yeah, I mean, when I meant double digits, I'm talking like 10.
Yeah,
11 tops.
Yeah,
23 last year.
That would be about my capacity for it. I'd like to see him
7 is where I'd
like
to be.
Yeah, yeah. Like I'm okay with some shorter yardage, to a little bit less yardage. Like I don't need him to chuck it all around the yard. I heard somebody posit like 23 and 8. I'd sign up for 23 touchdowns and 8 picks.
I'd be more inclined for about 26 and 8, which I think is possible. He threw what 25 last
touchdowns.
Year.
3 touchdowns.
That's really? A difference. Really? 3 touchdowns and that's a huge difference. That could be, you know, the result of a win or a loss. Also, texters chiming in. One texter saying that he is 64 and plays Call of Duty. Another is 62 and plays Pong. And another is 60 and plays every day, plays games. So that is not the way I intended that comment to be sounding, but if I offended anyone, I apologize. Jason, do you still play video games? See, the thing is, I don't play video games anymore.
Really?
Like, I'll play like...
You're at prime video game age. What are you doing?
Prime video game age is like 14 to 20.
Yeah, but 20, you're in your mid-20s.
24, yeah.
You
I
don't
that
have...
Is mid-20s,
I mean, you have a family, but like you don't have a wife and kids.
Correct.
You have responsibilities, but you don't have a ton of them. You have to go to work. You have to be an upstanding citizen.
Yeah.
Play video games!
I don't have time to play video games.
That's true. You do work.
I mean, you know as many things that I do.
I know.
I do not have time to play video games. If I am ready to relax, I will just watch some TV.
Yeah, I'm with you. I also find it, like, I have so little time to, like, decompress or anything. I don't feel like I'm getting as much out of that time as I would like. You know, if I have an hour, I'd rather read and feel like I've learned something than just play a video game and zone out. I wish I had enough time that where I could do both.
I agree. Don't.
I've tried to get back into it, though.
I like playing Ms. Pac-Man. That's my favorite.
Really?
Like, if I go to, like, an arcade or something, I'll spend, like, 25, 30 minutes at Ms. Pac-Man. Like, any arcade I go to, my intention and goal...
Do you go to a lot of arcades?
No, but, like, when I go to Geneva, I go to the arcade up there with some buddies. Or, like, if I go, you know, like, arcade places around
Limits,
here. Like,
we need to work on your vacations. So far today, I've learned that you go to Geneva on the lake and you go to vending machines and arcades. What are we doing, buddy?
You're acting like those are the prime things that I do. Those are ancillary things.
Those are the only two things I've heard about.
Well, I go to the lake. I hang out by the pool. I go to the hot tub. I hang out at the strip.
All right.
We go to nice restaurants.
All right.